Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance, rolling along on a very busy Wednesday with ton of NFL news to get into. But speaking of news, the biggest of all time may have just broken, and that's the only place to start.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Jeff Saturday and Kimberly Martin, good enough to hang out after we wrap up Get Up with this news hot off the presses. Jason Kelce, center, Philadelphia Eagles, brother Travis Kelce, has confirmed, Jason has, that Travis and Taylor Swift are dating. Kimberly Martin, your reaction.
You know, did you see when Joe Burrow announced that he was engaged, or people knew that he was engaged, and then like a store was offering like different kind of shots for women that were depressed? I think that's going to happen in KC. I think a lot of women are going to be really disappointed. Travis Kelce, I mean, it makes sense. But Taylor Swift.
I was going to say, I think Taylor Swift's...
kind of a bigger deal?
Yeah. I think on the world scope, Taylor Swift far outshines any NFL player, in all honesty. So I don't know what her concert tickets went for, but I remember this summer they're talking about just some insane amount of money.
Oh, trust me, I know. My daughter went three times.
Okay. Yeah. So you know.
We are a Swiftie household.
Okay.
And I will say this, that the women in Kansas City need not worry, because if history is our guide, will last some period of time. It'll end, and then she will write an unbelievably good song.
Great song, great album is coming.
There will be a football-related song coming up on an album at some point soon. Taylor's version is going to be outstanding. Anyway, let's get down to the actual business of football here. We had a lot of really good stuff on television this morning, and I want to dive back into some of it. Kmart, let's start with this. I feel bad because you have rapidly become one of my favorite people.
I appreciate that.
And yet...
You treat me so horribly.
Well, no, that's not true. I have taken to yelling at you lately.
Because your frustrations.
Well, you cover the Jets, and you keep telling me what they tell you, and I keep yelling at you because it's not what I want
to hear. I got to just give you Joe Douglas's number. Like, take it, run at the flagpole.
I will talk to Joe Douglas.
let Greeny be like the big booster. You know how college boosters got the coaches, the head coach's number?
That's,
like, let that happen.
Yes.
Give me a number.
People have this complete misconception that I have these relationships. These are not people I know. I've never met Robert Saleh in my life. I've never met Joe Douglas in my life, and I don't care to. I'm not looking for any more friends. I got plenty of friends.
Plenty of friends.
I want my team to win.
Win a Super Bowl, baby.
At some point. And for this year, that horse is out of the barn. Like, I don't think there's almost any circumstance in which that happens. But here's what I'm really worried about. And if I'm them, it's what they should be really worried about. Yeah. I could see that team splintering, and I really hope I'm wrong. But they have a bunch of young, dynamic, talented guys who want to be a part of something special. And they brought in Aaron Rodgers to be that.
Right.
And if they now turn this thing back over to this kid that they had a mutiny last year.
There was a mutiny on
that team last year. If this thing goes anything like that Sunday against Bill freaking Belichick, I think they're going to have a major problem on their hands.
Didn't they wear the T-shirts?
Mike White.
Effing White. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's what I go back to. We had conversations in the offseason, preseason, about this team. I always brought up the leadership. Who's in charge with Aaron Rodgers? Is it Robert Saleh or is it Aaron Rodgers? And I think what we saw is this was Aaron's team. This was Aaron's organization.
Yeah.
And the coaching staff was happy to sort of give him that authority and power within the locker room and on the field. And now that it's not there, like, I think back to Hard Knocks, that first episode, you literally have the defensive coordinator saying, we got him. Like, now when we step into stadiums, we're straight. We know we can win any game because of him.
Right.
So much was put on him. And it was, the Jets will go as Aaron goes. And I wondered about Robert Saleh and how much power he had within it, right? And now that Aaron's not there, it's on Robert Saleh to rein it in, to make sure that Breece Hall talking about, like, I need more touches. Like, this is how we win games. And, yeah, and Sauce, was, right. Sauce wanted, like, I should be shadowing guys. Like, we should,
and
you know.
And deleted his accounts or stuff, right? Yeah.
You know, and that's the part where when frustration mounts.
Yeah.
How do you temper that, the anxiety and the frustration? You got Sauce deleting Twitter. Like, how, it's week. Yeah. We haven't even gotten to week three, like, three Sunday yet.
That's
like,
the that's. Fear.
That's
and let me say this from the coaching side of why coaches, like, why would Saleh allow that? People are like, because player led teams,
yes,
are the most successful teams in the NFL. When you saw Tom Brady go to Tampa Bay, Bruce Arians is a big personality and he is a great dude and he is a ton of fun. But he and Tom Brady, like, they wouldn't be, and obviously they have a relationship now, but they wouldn't be like hangout boys, right? Like Bruce, the way he lived, B.A., the way he lives his life, and Tom Brady, you know, and the avocado ice cream. Those are two different cats, right? But Bruce deferred to Tom. Now, when they were on the field, B.A. would chastise him and criticize him and get him right, like any other coach should. But when you let them leave and go to the locker room, that's when it becomes Brady's kingdom, right? No different than when Peyton Manning went to Denver. They changed culture. That was what Saleh was hoping from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Then when he got to the Jets, this is how it changes. And so what happens is when that void now is created because of injury, the injury is not just my play. It's such a bad injury. It's not that my player is no longer going to play. He's not even in the building,
right?
Because you have surgeries.
Right.
All you do is go to the training room and out because you can't be on the sideline because if somebody runs up on you, the risk of re-injury. There's all these things that get put in place. That void of leadership on the field, offensively especially, is the danger because where you have the majority of playmakers is on that defensive side. And so, I mean, you think about one, maybe Garrett Wilson now, but where is the leadership really coming from? And from a backup quarterback, it's not coming from there. So it is now Saleh has to step in and be that kind of guiding voice offensively. That's the real risk. Replacing that or bringing somebody in that is more mature, could you fix it? For a brief time, but you just don't. There's too many unknowns, too many variables.
Think
about
all the guys that came for Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely.
Dalvin Cook literally just signed last month to win it all with Aaron Rodgers. You got Alan Lazard here. You got Randall Cobb here.
His guys.
And Aaron Rodgers, the best part about it was the worst thing, which is Aaron Rodgers was better than they ever could have hoped. The feeling in that building.
Yeah.
Standing on the sidelines for Monday Night Football as, like, the fireworks are, like, exploding in the air and you got the flag waving. I looked and I said, this place has never, ever felt like this. It was so magical and so great. And to strip
it was
that
all theoretical as well, by the
right.
way.
Right. No,
we didn't know, right?
No, listen, standing there, I was like, there's no way the Jets are losing this game.
Right.
Like, Aaron running out with the flag, like, and on paper, this roster had the potential to do special things. You strip all of that away, and Aaron not being in the building now, it's not chaos in there.
No.
But it's when things start to unravel in games, who is that calming voice? And so far, it's been Garrett Wilson going over to Zach Wilson and saying, like, okay, this is what I saw. Okay, like, you got this. But that is the complete opposite.
You need a guy that transcends all three phases. That's the problem with Garrett Wilson or Zach Wilson, right? They're single phase guys.
Right.
Tom Brady talks to defensive guys, special teams. Like everybody looks to them. That's the difference, right? The Peyton Manning, they elevate all 53. It's not just 11 or, you know, the way. That's the difference. The difference
Wilson
is you transcend all three phases.
It's not going to the defense.
Correct.
Come on, guys. You can do this. It's like, how about you actually?
Exactly.
Not make a mistake.
Exactly.
You focus on that.
That's right. That's right.
That's my concern. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance by visiting progressive.com. And let's make it clear. Let's expand this league-wide because I'm not blaming anyone. This is terrible luck that befell an organization that did everything right. Every move they made was the right move.
Absolutely.
And if you lose your starting quarterback, if you are a championship contending team in the National Football League, and I'm going to prove it to you right now, and you lose your starting quarterback on the fourth offensive play of the season, you're done. It doesn't make any difference how good the rest of you are. I'm just going to name teams that feel like they are contenders this season.
Right.
And you tell me, if they lose their – I hate to even say speak this into existence, but if they lose their starting quarterback for the season this week, are they still contenders? Miami.
No. No.
Buffalo.
No.
No, gosh,
Baltimore.
No.
No.
Jacksonville.
Nope.
Cincinnati.
No, definitely not. No.
Kansas City.
Let me just stop you.
Nobody.
The only team that would is San Francisco.
Ooh, because we've seen it.
That's it.
We've seen it.
You name every list.
Yeah. But, that's my point.
Yeah. You name every list. But the only one that I would say that would have – would still – you know, their numbers may dip a little or change a little, but overall you would say San Fran might be able to give you a run for your money. But other than that – All the names you're naming, the answer
is no. So that's the point.
Yeah.
So now it really becomes about holding everything together. Like the expectation of winning a championship this year, which everybody had, that's gone. It's over.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's over. That's the part of it. They can't accept that. I'm not suggesting they should walk in there every day saying, well, we can't do it anymore. But at some point, the realization is going to strike everyone if it hasn't already. And now they need to hold it together. And that is my biggest concern. Greeny, Jeff Saturday, and Kmart, good enough to hang out for a few minutes after we wrap up the TV show. I want to very quickly bring up something that we did on TV today as well. Because Kmart, this debate, the debate about Justin Fields in Chicago is becoming, in my view, one of the most interesting stories in the NFL. And maybe because I'm very close to it because of my ties to Chicago. But you're a person who is taking one tack of this discussion that I feel is becoming a decreasingly popular one. Mm-hmm. So when people look at Justin Fields and the obvious struggles that we have seen from him, what is your diagnosis?
Well, I just look at the entire – my job is about context, providing context. And you have a kid – who came into an organization, the people that drafted him, no longer here. This is the first time since college that he's been in the same offensive system. There were going to be growing pains. Adding DJ Moore was a huge first step, but it was not the only step. This cupboard was bare when I talk about the roster last year. They have done a good job making the roster better, but it's still not enough. Like, people expecting this year would be, oh, well, the Bears are winning the division. That, to me, that was far too premature. I felt like next year would be a year where we look at the Bears and say they're a legit contender in this division. Now, that said, Justin Fields cannot hold on to the football that long. Like, you literally are watching, like, you're watching him with the football and you're just like, throw it, dude. You got to throw guys open. You got to trust that you are leading guys where they need to be, that they will be in the right spot.
Right.
The decision-making, and Jeff said this on TV, the paralysis by analysis, it just looks like too many things are happening in his head. That is on him. However, we also see other quarterbacks in the NFL where the coaching staff says, we don't want you to fit into what we want to do. We want to look at you as a total package and
figure out
what works for you. How can we make you comfortable, especially a young guy who you understood coming out of the draft was going to need some time, was going to need some seasoning. It wasn't going to be like we're going to hit the ground running and all of a sudden Justin Fields is a finished product. He needed development. And unfortunately, I worried about him going to Chicago in the first place because that organization was not stable. You could see that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace were not going to be there for the long haul. And when you have the front office fluctuation, that messes up a quarterback's development, especially in the early years. So I think there's bigger issues beyond Justin Fields, but Justin Fields has to also trust Justin Fields.
Yeah. Let me just tell you the difficulty, and I just thought about this as we were talking, because we talked about it on TV, and I didn't have a chance to say this, but this is another thing. It is paralysis by analysis by Justin Fields, right? Is that there's a lot going on in your head, and you know, and so you're every and it accumulates. It's not one play. Like, people think about, he's played seasons, and you get hit, and you know, you have so he has to be better about the clock in his head, pull the ball down, go run the ball, whatever it is. But let me say something else from a coaching perspective. When the offensive coordinator is calling plays like we show on TV, where you got two dudes wide open, he should throw the ball, why would you change your play? You ain't changing your play because the play is there. The kid's not throwing it, right? So what ends up happening is you get entrenched on both sides. Well, should we do stuff for Justin Fields? Yeah, do something for me. Or, well, my plays are working, right? So where is the middle ground where you go, okay, that is where – the massaging of a player and a massaging of a coach come together for Eberflus is like at some point you got to bring these guys together because the plays are there. When you see this many wide open plays, you can blame the coach for so long, right? But because we're not getting the ones that I call that are open, and so there's this kind of tension in between of what do we? Because you don't want to scrap that play. If that play, right. Why would you throw it away?
Right.
Like it's open. Like just here's your read. So you got to coach him up on the ones he's not making, and then give him some in there that he's very comfortable, whether it's an RPO or whether it's a zone read or whatever it is to get his timing where it doesn't have to correlate between his footwork and the ball coming out on time. Like there's a lot of things you can do, but the problem with that from a coordinator is you only get so many snaps. So where can you practice them? How do you get better at them? Because I'm just telling you, from a coaching perspective and from a player perspective, you got to get these things joined together, and right now it's disjointed. And that's the part – everybody can get in camps on which side. It's both and, mm-hmm. right? It's not a one. It's a both and. I'm just letting you know.
No, I think that's the perfect way to put it. And what it adds up to is a mess against Kansas City this week. Guys, you're the best. Thank you, Kmart. Jeff Saturday, as we continue in a moment, Hembo hurt my feelings this morning.
Boy.
And I'll explain how right after this on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast.
I need you to listen carefully.
I just want you to know.
All right, let's bring the assembled members of the hashtag crew assembled around us. Hembo has made his way into the studio here in New York. Bubba and Cam are in the studio in Bristol. Boys, are you with us today?
We are with you.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You need to hear what Hembo did this morning. This is, I told Kmart in the break, and she was horrified at your complete lack of social grace.
Sounds about right.
So, I was cleaning out some closets the other day. And I came across a pair of pants. They're very nice pants that I just never wear anymore. For whatever reason, I just don't. But they are, I think, still very much in style. And they are very nice pants. And so I had them hanging here in on a hanger in my office. And Hembo came in, and he's in there doing his usual thing. And I said to him, "You see the pants over there?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Do you think they're nice?" And he said, "Yeah, those are nice pants." And I said, "Well, I really never wear them. I'd like someone who would wear them to have them. Would you like them?" So he takes them off the hanger. He kind of opens them up and he goes, oh, I could never wear these. These are much too big for me. You could put two of me in these pants. That's what? Verbatim what he said. You could put two of me in these pants. He might just as well have looked at me and said, gee, Greeny, you are one big fat slob. I what? Certainly cannot put on a pair of your pants. I ask you, am I exaggerating this one bit?
No, I think the only thing that you missed was I said I could jump out of an airplane in these and I could land softly.
What?
He did say that too.
That's a good line.
He said that he suggested that my pants would be a parachute for him. So you tell me right now, Cam, how should I react to this?
You should be offended.
Offended.
And I don't know what Hembo's talking about. You guys are of similar frame.
Yeah, how could they
These
be
are
that
not
big?
Marcus Spears' pants.
That's
this
my point.
This is Greeny's
I'm
pants.
I'm a thin man.
Yeah, so is Hembo. Your pants should fit him, and his pants should fit you. This isn't Chris Canty.
Take your pants off right now. I want you to take off your pants, and I'm going to put on your pants. And I'm telling you right now I'm going to fit in your pants.
We can actually play this out. I'm going to change into your hot air balloon pants at the next break. I guarantee you, when I put them on and come in here, you will feel even worse than you do right now.
And I am going to put on the pants you're wearing, and they're going to fit me fine. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to be able to button them.
No.
I'm going to be able to zip the fly.
No.
I'm going to be able to wear your pants.
You don't wear the pants in this relationship, okay?
Let's just make one. Hembo's afraid. You hear this, Bubba? Hembo's afraid that I'm going to fit into his pants. That's what he's afraid of.
He's going to be proven wrong real quick.
What a thing to be afraid of.
That's exactly right.
I'm scared of Greeny fitting
he's
into
scared
my pants.
That's exactly right. But Cam, you're right. He's afraid I'm going to fit into his pants.
And then try on a pair of Chris Canty's pants and see how they fit.
Well, that's the point. Chris Canty is a behemoth of a human being.
Time out.
What?
Okay.
He's realized he's gone too far because that line was just, it just makes no sense. Two of you? I mean,
so Cam
it doesn't make any sense.
And Bubba's objection here is that they think that my statement was inaccurate.
Right.
You seem to take more umbrage with the fact that it was an offensive thing to say.
Well, it's insulting.
It?
It's offensive and inaccurate.
Yeah, both. We're saying both.
It's insulting in any circumstance. Like if a child said, I couldn't wear your pants, like Stevie can't wear my pants, my son, because he is 6'1" and probably weighs 140 pounds. How tall are you?
5'11".
Okay, so we're basically the same height. What do you weigh?
175.
We weigh exactly the same amount of pounds. I weigh myself every morning. I weigh myself every morning. I weigh 177 pounds. We are the same height. We weigh within 2 pounds of each other. We have the same pants.
Fine. We'll do the pants experiment, and I'm telling you it's going to make you feel worse.
No, I'm telling
I
you.
Can't I can't wait for
when
this
When I
experiment.
Fit into your pants comfortably, it is going to make you feel way worse.
I'm wearing my tight pants
Here's
today.
The issue we have. Hembo wears ridiculously tight pants. Like, I've never said this to you, but I'm uncomfortable with how tight your pants are. I'm not sure they shouldn't be a workplace violation.
You're going to be even more uncomfortable when you're the one wearing the tight pants.
You should not be allowed to wear those pants here, like or anywhere public. Okay, like today you're wearing actually a normal human shirt, but you are wearing pants for a much smaller person. Like, I'm not sure where the thinking behind these pants came
No, these are fashionable jogger type.
Those are like fashionable yoga type pants is what they are. You should be wearing them to yoga and nowhere else. So anyway, that's how my day starts. All right, I come in here. It's not as if my life isn't awful enough already. My quarterback gets hurt in the fourth play of the season, but I got to come in here and Hembo has to insult my pants. Greeny, starting stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Okay, next order of business.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, what?
All right, you know how much we love Chris the Mad Dog Russo in here? He is, as we speak, I assume on First Take. I don't have a monitor here, but it's Wednesday, so I'm assuming he's on over there, just across the hall. Chris Mad Dog Russo is one of my favorite people. He's one of the people I admire the most in our industry, and I genuinely like. And Chris Mad Dog Russo has a problem. And do you know who he has a problem with? Me. Chris Mad Dog Russo has a problem with Jet fans wanting Kirk Cousins. And he said as much on his radio show on Mad Dog Sports Radio.
Guys, the hot stuff with Kirk. Why don't you see if you can maybe get Herbert?
They're 0-2, going nowhere. Why don't you give up a fifth-round pick? See if you can get Justin Herbert here. Why not? What the hell? How about Mahomes? They've won enough. Talk to Clark Kent and see if maybe they'll take, the running back Carter and throwing an offensive lineman. See if you can get Mahomes in here. Why not?
So here's what he's suggesting. He's suggesting that it is completely unrealistic that he is comparing. See, he's just wrong. He's comparing asking for Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert, young quarterbacks just starting their careers who will clearly be on their team for the next 10 years, to Kirk Cousins, who clearly will not be in Minnesota next year anyway. That's the point. Cousins is not going to be the quarterback of the Vikings next year. If he was going to be, they would have addressed that last offseason. When they let a quarterback go into his walk year, they are telling you what they think. They are 0-2. If they start 1-5, they should. It would be organizational incompetence on their part not to at least consider trading Kirk Cousins for something of value. I will make it clear. I know they're not trading him now. They're 0-2. They were a playoff team last year. They may still have a season ahead of them. They're not going to consider it. But if they lose a few more games and they are hopelessly out of it, now what's going to work against me is I don't see anyone in that division running away and hiding. Green Bay, I think, is good, but they're not that good. The Bears are way worse than I thought they were going to be. The Lions are the only team in that division I could see maybe winning 12 games. If that division is won at 10-7 or even something like 9-8, Minnesota probably doesn't fall out of it in time to make a trade. But I do not think that it is reasonable to compare asking for Mahomes or Herbert with asking for Cousins in October. Am I right?
You're 100% right. To equate those three people is obviously just incorrect. I think the conversation, though, that he is, I think the point he is trying to make is a good one, in that talking about trading for another team's quarterback, another team's starting quarterback, through two games is most certainly premature. And you have to really tease this thing out for a while to reach this point. The thing that I want to keep coming back to.
No. Explain that to me. What do you mean by that?
I mean, you're really projecting a lot of.
Premature on their part or on our part?
On your part. A lot of things have to happen for the Vikings to be out of it by Halloween.
Oh, yeah, of course. I just said that. Didn't I just say that?
Yes. You just said that.
Right.
But what for him to compare Cousins to Mahomes and Herbert is obviously irresponsible. It is also irresponsible for Jets fans to be talking about Kirk Cousins as their quarterback as a fait accompli. It is much likelier that the Vikings keep him because they only will have played 8 games by the trade deadline.
Right.
This is the thing I don't understand about the NFL. Why is it so early? Like, why is the trade deadline less than halfway through the season? October 31st is the Vikings will have played 8 games. In baseball's trade deadline, you'll have played 110 games. Like, you can actually make an informed decision. I just think it's ridiculously early for the league to decide teams should have made up their minds on this by then. That's all.
I get that part of it. But we're having two different conversations. Oh, so that's a perfectly reasonable conversation. Should they have a later trade deadline? Because you can trade players at most positions in Thanksgiving, and they still might be able to have an impact. If you're trading for a quarterback, you need to get him as quickly as possible because your chances of him being able to contribute if you get him week 12 are pretty unlikely. Even if you get him week 8, when could you reasonably start him? Week 11 or 12, whatever. But I mean, it's happened before when quarterbacks get injured. And in this case, the Jets quarterback got injured. So that is a reasonable thing to do. And look, I know the Jet fans are mad at me because it sounds like I'm giving up on Zach Wilson. I will give anything to be wrong. I will come on this show and want, I will look directly into the camera on both Get Up and on this show, and I will say I was dead wrong if Zach Wilson goes out there and plays well this weekend. 100%. And no one will be happier to do it than me. But I see what I see. We've all seen what we've seen. They're in this position because they're stuck and there's nothing they can do about it. So that's the way I look at it. By the way, I have one more from...
Before we get to that, we're skipping over one of the best parts of that clip.
What?
He referred to Clark Hunt as Superman.
Yeah, he said Clark Kent, not Clark Hunt, the chief CEO, which is
hilarious. You know what? I didn't understand the Clark Kent.
So funny.
So you mean he's saying that because of Clark Hunt?
Yeah, he thought it was Clark Hunt.
Yeah, Hunt, Clark Kent.
Who is Superman.
That's right. Clark Kent is Superman. Oh, he. See, I thought he was trying to make a Superman joke.
No.
Mean he just mistakenly called? Can you just give me that soundbite? Just but just that shortened part
we'll
at the end
it.
There?
We'll get it.
While you're editing that, I'll play the other one because I have one more. I haven't heard this yet either, but I'm told it was an adventure when he tried to say the name Chris Olave. Chris Russo has it. There's nothing more I love more than his adventures in trying to say people's names, like when he called Diana Russini Diane Ruccini. But in this case, I'm told he was trying to talk about Chris Olave. Let's hear this.
You got two good receivers. Michael Thomas looks a little more active. Olave's of Olave, Olave, whatever. It's the kid from Ohio State. Olave, Olave, Olave. That's it. Olave, Chris Olave. He's very, very good.
Olave. He's wait a minute.
You got two good receivers. Michael Thomas looks a little more active. Olave's of Olave, Olave, whatever. It's the kid from Ohio State.
Olave,
Olave, Olave. That's it. Olave, Chris Olave. He's very, very good.
Olave.
He is very, very good. Oh, that was a good one. We've lost tempo, right? That was good. Right,
I hadn't heard it before. That
me
was better.
Neither.
Way better than,
gold. Better than expected. All right, so let's hear the Clark Kent one here. So this is so he's talking about calling up Kansas City to trade for Patrick Mahomes, and I didn't even get this. Bear in mind that the owner there is named Clark Hunt.
How about Mahomes? They've won enough. Talk to Clark Kent and see if maybe they'll take the running back Carter.
That is I didn't even think that. I genuinely thought he was trying to make a Superman joke that I didn't understand, that maybe was related Clark to something Kent. They had been talking about on the show. That's amazing. That's really good.
Olave.
Olave.
He's the kid from Ohio
State. I want everyone to know, we kid about this. We love Chris. I love the man, and no one loves him more than Hembo does. So we are kidding because, I mean, all of this is out of love. I don't want anyone going over to Russo and saying, oh, they were killing you on the show today. It's the opposite of that. We kid with kindness. It's not like Hembo insulting his pants. The man is hilarious. He is a national treasure, and he should be treated that way. Okay, there's something another thing that I really think we need to get in here today, because the power of this program sometimes actually scares me.
Sneaky big news.
I want everyone to follow the things that happened. 2 days ago, we were looking for a bet to place, and Hembo came across odds on Micah Parsons to win the league MVP that were 100-1. We talked about it on the air yesterday. We said, we're going to make this bet. I want to make this bet. I believe he's got a chance. I detailed all the reasons why I think he has a chance to win, and we agreed we would make a bet as a show unit. This is a hashtag crew bet. I will front the $100, and if we get it right, then that's $10,000 to split evenly amongst the four members of the hashtag crew. Hembo was not able to make that bet legally from the state of New York. We only place bets legally on this show. He had to go back to his home state of New Jersey. I am telling you, for those of you who don't know the geography, to get from where we are sitting through the Holland Tunnel into the state of New Jersey is like 4 minutes. By the time he got there, the odds had moved to 66-1. Yesterday, I said that, and then we talked about it on TV. I said on Get Up yesterday, I'm starting a campaign, Micah Parsons for MVP. At this moment, those odds are now 35-1. We've moved his odds from 101 to 35-1. He was at that time, 2 days ago, before we started talking about this, he had the same odds of winning MVP as the Bears had of winning the Super Bowl, right? Wasn't that what the odds were?
That's right.
The Bears' odds of winning the Super Bowl. As of our talking about it, he now has shorter odds than Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Deshaun Watson, Matt Stafford, or Kirk Cousins. We have moved. We have unimaginable power here. We need to make sure that we harness this, boys, for good and not evil, because we have the ability to make things happen. And I think it's a great bet. We got this at 66-1. This thing is going to, he's going to become the favorite if he has another big week.
Would you still place the bet at 35-1? If that's the best you can do.
Yes, because he said it on McAfee yesterday. He's going to start playing tight end. He's going to catch touchdowns. They're going to start putting Micah Parsons on the offense in goal line situations, and he's going to catch a couple of touchdowns. I will put the over-under right now. Wait, let's do this. I'm going to put the over-under right now at 1.5 for the number of touchdowns he's going to score this season. On either side of the ball, he's going to score over or under 1.5 touchdowns this season, Hembo.
Over if it includes defense.
Includes defense.
Over.
Over. Bubba.
Yeah, if you're including defense, I agree over.
Okay, but not offensively?
I'm still hesitant on the offensive part.
Cam.
I could see two on offense. J.J. Watt had three.
Yep, I can too. He's going to be the MVP. We're going to have had this exactly right. Coming up next, we will break down the absolute worst place in the world to have an important conversation. That's next. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny on ESPN Radio. If you miss any of our programming, catch up on both hours of the show in the Greeny podcast. It's available every day wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch our show on the ESPN app. Click on watch, look for hashtag Greeny and enjoy. And in fact, if you do that now, you're going to be treated to a sight for sore eyes. Cam and Bubba, you both know me well enough to know there's nothing on earth I love more than being right. Hembo, during our last break, just went and put on my pants. And he looks fabulous in them. They fit him well. And for those of you, I know the overwhelming majority of this audience is listening on the radio. I have posted a picture of said pants on my Instagram at ESPN Greeny. On Instagram, you will see a picture of Hembo wearing a very nice pair of blue linen pants, and he looks outstanding in them. Cam, Bubba, how happy do you think I am right now?
You look very happy. I'm looking at this picture on Instagram. This looks like Hembo's first day of school. It is a very funny picture.
Yeah, because he's wearing like a dress shirt tucked in because you have no idea how to wear the pants. But the point remains, aren't the pants nice?
They're
a million times nicer than the pants that he wore in here, which basically looked like something that your wife should be wearing to yoga. That's how tight they are.
Certainly not two of Hembo's.
How do you feel about the pants?
Work out well.
They're nice pants, and so for that I apologize. They also fit me better than expected. They're mm-hmm. a tad big, mm-hmm. but we could wear them and we could work with them. And so for that, I apologize. And for my, I guess, offending you.
Yes.
It seems I did. And for you back in Bristol, I apologize too.
So
when I'm wrong, on occasion, I'm happy to admit that I'm
wrong. All right. I love it. And you know who's going to love this the most of all? Your wife. You're going to walk in the door and Liz is going to be like, boy, that's a nice pair of pants. My husband looks good in the pants. That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, it's going to work out well for everybody. Again, it's on Instagram at ESPN Greeny. If you would like to see Hembo in the pants, trust me, you want to. I'm ready to go.
Green Light, Light with Greeny. Give me the green
light. All right, I'm going to give Hembo the green light on a hugely important baseball story that is in the notes this morning. So the pending free agency of Shohei Ohtani has been the biggest story in Major League Baseball all season long, and it obviously took an extremely unfortunate twist when he suffered the injury to the elbow, whatever that is now, a month or however long ago that was. And the big question is, how will that impact the $500 million we thought he was going to get? The thing that primarily makes him special is that he is a pitcher and a slugger. And if he can only be a slugger, he continued to play for a while. Then he cleaned out his locker about 2 weeks ago. And the news came across last night that he had the UCL surgery. It was done by the same surgeon who did Aaron Rodgers earlier in the week. And that the expectation is he will be an offensive player next year and then go back to pitching starting in 2025. We are in sort of uncharted territory here. I mean, I was going to ask you, what is the expectation? We're just guessing because no one has faced this. But is the general opinion of the baseball world that that is reasonable, that he will be able to hit like himself, like leading the league in home runs kind of hitter in 24 and come back to being a dominant pitcher as well the year after that?
It is a stretch to think that he could pull that off. Keep in mind, much of this information, much of this reporting is at least presumably coming from his agent, who has a vested interest in ensuring that Ohtani is as well represented as possible and is positioned as favorably as possible for his free agency. Bryce Harper had Tommy John surgery in the offseason, and he didn't really become Bryce Harper again until the second half of this season. Like, it still does affect your hitting. In his case, it sapped his power. I think it is unlikely that Shohei Ohtani hits 40 home runs next season coming off of elbow surgery. I do, however, think it is likely, or at least so long as Shohei Ohtani wants to continue pitching once a week, that he can pitch in 2025. And so as teams are lining up, ready to present to him the biggest offers in the history of Major League Baseball, I think that has to be the calculus. Like, we're going to get probably 80% of him as a hitter next year. Starting the year after, we're going to work him back in as a pitcher. And in the end, I don't think it's really going to affect, to a large degree, the size of the contract. I still think it's going to be the largest contract in baseball history, and it's going to start with a five.
Okay, so that's obviously the big question for him. The other piece of it is we were expecting a lot of teams to be in. We were expecting the Yankees. We were expecting the usual suspects. Do you still expect that?
Yes. In fact, I think the fact that Ohtani's future is a little murkier might actually bring some other teams to the surface, because if by chance we're not talking about $500 or $600 million, if by chance we're talking about three or four, then maybe the Cubs get in, maybe the Red Sox get in, maybe the Phillies get in. See, that to me is an interesting part of this. Before, there's only a couple teams in baseball that could give him, say, a $600 million contract.
Are the Angels one of them?
Yes, the Angels are most definitely one of them.
Okay.
And if I had one wish to make, this is the wish I would choose. Don't choose the Angels. I don't care if he is playing for the Lansing Lugnuts next season. I cannot possibly see Shohei Ohtani play another game for the Angels. They have ruined his prime. They have ruined Mike Trout's prime. They have effectively had Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth on their team for the last several years and have nothing to show for it. I need him in a different uniform next season. That is the most important thing to me as a fan of baseball, and I'd imagine in an honest moment, almost anyone in Major League Baseball's office would say the same.
But how about the Angels? How do they see it, and what does Ohtani want?
Well, I don't know what Ohtani wants. I mean, presumably he wants to have a chance to win, in which case he shouldn't go back there. But presumably Mike Trout wanted the same thing, and he signed a $400 million contract to return.
Mike Trout seems like he's very happy being a great player, making his money, and not causing any waves, not becoming a celebrity. And if not winning comes along with that, this is going to sound very critical of him. I'm sure he wants to win, but that obviously hasn't been his top priority, and that's not a criticism. People's top priority is making as much money as they can, and that's fine. Do you think Ohtani is going to want out of there because they haven't won anything?
Yes. Unless he wants to rebuild his value somewhere. Like, if he wants to sign a one-year, $50 million deal or a two-year.
That would be a $100 million deal, right?
Just to rebuild his value, to rebuild his two-way value. That is the only option.
But you sound like you're telling me you don't think he has to redo his value because someone's going to give it to him anyway.
I don't think that he has to at all. And I think his agent being this out front saying, no, we're going to hit next year and we're going to pitch the year after is his way of saying, come on, come on.
Would the Yankees give him $500 million?
I think the Yankees right now with Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole having two mega contracts already – I don't think they have it. And Stanton's contract is an albatross. Like, the Dodgers are the team most likely to sign him because they didn't sign anybody last offseason. They have all the money in the world, and he doesn't even have to move. Like, that, I think, is the likeliest thing. That's what the baseball world expects, but we don't know anything for sure.
So the expectation of the baseball world, for those who are wrapped up in their football and not paying attention, is that Ohtani will be a Dodger?
Ohtani's going to DH for the Dodgers next year, and he'll be their opening day starter the year after.
Okay.
That is my best guess.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of all this as we go, and I will remind you again, if you go on Instagram right now, at ESPN Greeny, you will see a man in a very handsome pair of pants. It is Hembo. He is wearing the pants, and they fit. And as I wrote, if the pants fit, wear them. Ooh, and you know who has liked the photo?
Who's that?
At Lizzie K.
Oh, gosh.
Your wife likes the pants.
Oh, no.
You're welcome. We're back in a flash on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.